Hallelujah. Someone that is glad to see the first midweek service in the month of July, lift up those hands and appreciate God. You are not in the mortuary. You are not in the hospital. You are not in jail. You are in His presence. Appreciate Him. Give Him thanks. Give Him praise. Give Him glory. Give Him honor. Give Him all adoration. Exalt Him. Give Him praise and thanks. Father, we thank You. Lord, we exalt You. We give You all the praise and the glory. We magnify and exalt Your holy name. Blessed and blessed and blessed be Your name. In Jesus' most precious name, we have given thanks. In Jesus' marvelous name, we have given thanks. This month, God will perfect all that concerns You. In this seventh month, which is the month of perfection, everything that has to do with you will be perfected.
Amen.
This month you will see the hand of God.
Amen.
The hand of God will be made permanent in your life.
Amen.
It shall be evident that the hand of God is upon your life.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so before this month finally runs to an end, you are sharing your testimony.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Congratulate your neighbor on your right and left. Tell your neighbor it's a new day for you. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Please be seated. Father, we thank You again. Speak to us again in this service. Move in our direction. Let Your name be glorified. Thank You, everlasting Father. In Jesus' precious name. Prophetic focus for the month is supernatural breakthrough is my heritage. And our teaching series for the midweek services will be understanding the breakthrough power of kingdom stewardship. Understanding the breakthrough power of kingdom stewardship. It's not new, we already know that the end time church is ordained a breakthrough church. The church of the last days is ordained a breakthrough church. It will no longer be referred to as the church rat. It will be referred to as the breakthrough church. In Micah chapter 4 verses 1 to 2. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be established upon the hills, says, and all nations shall flow into it. He said, one nation shall say to another, come ye and let us go into the house of the Lord our God. For He will teach us His ways and we will walk in His path. He says, for out of Zion shall proceed the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The end time church is the breakthrough church like the early church. So the last will be better than the first. The end time church will be a breakthrough church. Acts of Apostles chapter 4 verses 32 to 34. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that out of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Said, and great grace was upon them all. Now, look at verse 34. Neither was there any among them that lacked. The early church didn't lack. Why is there lack in the last church, in the late church? And that's not God's plan for the church. It says, neither was there any one of them that lacked. Why? For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. That means they were in charge. There was no one that lacked. He said, the end time church is the replica of the first church. The end time church will be a replica of the first church, which was God's original plan. The first church was God's original plan. This is God's plan for the church. Psalms 87, verses 1 to 7. His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia, it shall be said of them, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this man that was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there. As well as the singers and the players of the springs. He says, all my springs are in thee. That is, this is the church that Jesus is coming for. The church that Jesus is coming for will be a church that things will be working there. It shall be said that everything that things are happening for, everything that is changing level, everyone that is changing level is from the church. They are from the church. I thought I would hear an amen. His foundation is from the holy mountain. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than the dwellings of Jacob. God loves the church more than any other place, more than the internet. God loves the dwelling, the church, more than the internet. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God. He says, I will make mention of all these things, and of Zion it shall be said, this man was born in her. And the highest himself shall establish her. The highest himself shall establish the church. The establishment of the church shall be done by the King of glory himself, because it's this dwelling place. Glory to God. The church shall be a reigning place. The church shall be reigning in the last days. Now look at this. Psalm 110 verses 1 to 3. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. The rod of thy strength. The rod is the commanding. Everywhere you see the rod, that means that is the commanding power. He said, it shall come out of Zion, and that rod shall say, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. He shall send the rod out of Zion. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. So the end time church shall be the reigning church, and power shall be domiciled in the church. He says, in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, thou shalt what? Has the dew of thy youth. Reigning shall come from the church. Revelations 5, verses 9 to 10. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our gods kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. We shall reign on the earth. The identity of the end time church shall be breakthrough on all sides. I didn't hear your amen.
Amen.
Because why you are not saying amen is because you don't know you are the church. It says the identity of the end time church shall be breakthroughs on all sides. So that means you will, because you are a replication of the church. Everywhere you appear, people see you and they see the church. They are not seeing a building. They are seeing a replication of the church. Hey, this person is a replicant. of the church. And there is breakthrough on all sides. That's why he said, "I will hold on to the skirt of him that is the Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." We have seen some things happening with you. We have seen some things happening in you. We have seen some things happening for you. We want to follow you to church. Somebody here, your life, the testimonies you'll be experiencing, we will attract 10 people to church. Amen. It will attract 20 people to church. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Breakthrough shall be the core identity of the church. Joel chapter 2, 23 to 27. It says, "Be glad then, ye children of Zion." It says, "And rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain." It says, "The former rain, the latter rain, in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten." It says, "The canker worm and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you, and ye shall eat in plenty." Amen. You will not be begging for food. Amen. Your children will not be begging for food. Amen. And be satisfied. Amen. You know, let me paint this picture to you. There are two people, two sets of people in the house. The ones that are wealthy don't ask if you have eaten. They ask, "Are you satisfied?" Because they know you have eaten. "Are you okay with what you have eaten?" You say, "Oh, Dad, yeah, I'm fine." Those who are struggling, we said, "Have you eaten?" "What did you eat?" In fact, they won't ask you what you ate because they know there's nothing in the house. There's nothing in the house. So, "Have you eaten?" "Oh, yeah, I've eaten." And that's it. Just go to bed. But those who have plenty and enough will not ask you if you have eaten. They will ask you if you are satisfied. In other words, do you want more? Do you want more? If you want more, because there is still enough. There is still more. If you want more. Glory to God. He said, "And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath done wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." What takes us from shame to glory in Zion, please take note, is service. What takes us from shame to glory? There is breakthrough power in kingdom stewardship. Breakthrough power in kingdom stewardship. We remember the title, Understanding the Breakthrough Power of Kingdom Stewardship. So that means there is breakthrough power in kingdom stewardship. You can't serve God and be hungry. I will change their story in service. Zephaniah chapter 3, 17 to 20. "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. It will save thee. It will rejoice over thee with joy. It will rest in his love. It will joy over thee with singing. He said, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee. I will save her that halted and gather her that was driven out. I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time I will bring you again. Even in the time that I gather you, I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth. And when I turn back your captivity, your eyes, saith the Lord." Now, in our midweek services, very quickly, we'll be looking at the services that qualify for a change of story. What services? We understand now that what can change our story is in service. But what kind of service is qualified to change? Because it's not all service that changes people's stories. That's why you keep people serving in church for 20 years and they still remain on the same spot. Their level has not changed because they've got their priorities wrong. I read to us on Sunday, Philippians 1, 15 to 18. How many remember that? And I said, put it up in TLB. It is still service, but it is service that brings reproach. Put it up. Service that brings... Eh? You can't find it. Philippians 1, 15 to 18 in TLB version. It is still service, but Paul said, this is why they are not reaping any reward. Some, of course, are preaching the good news. Now I understand what the scripture was saying when it was talking about love. He said, in 1 Corinthians, he said, they are talking about love, but their love, he said, you are not prosperous. You are talking about love. Your giving is not profitable. Your service is not profitable. Why? Because it is not done in love. That's where it comes from. Some, of course, are preaching the good news because they are jealous of the way God has used me. So some people are going for evangelism. But it is not because of the love of the people. It is because they want to say, I will show pastor that I can preach. Put it up. Don't take it out because you are still there. I want to show. He thinks he's the only one that can preach. I will tell him I can preach better because they are jealous of the way God used me. He said they want reputations as fearless preachers. That's why they are preaching. It's not because they love the souls. They are not even asking how many people got saved. But others have purer motives. Go to verse 16 now. He said, preaching because they love me. For they know that the Lord has brought me here to use me to defend the truth. But, and some preach to make me jealous. Some preach thinking that their success will add to my sorrow. Their success. Hey, how many people are getting saved here? I hope Paul is watching. Paul, in prison, are you seeing how many people got saved here? Thinking it will add to my sorrows in jail. Verse 17 now. He said, technical, are you Paul? Verse 17. Glory to God. He says, I didn't say verse 1. I said verse 17. Glory to God. No verse 17? There's no verse 17. Okay. So go back to verse 16. Go back to verse 16. No verse 16 again. And some preach to make me jealous. No, there is verse 17. Thinking that their success will... He said, in all these things, whatever they are preaching, I'm glad. Uh-huh. You said there's no verse 17. But the order of love. He said, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Now verse 18, even there is verse 18. Set for the defense of the gospel. Some, of course... I will come and take that thing from you. Now. But whatever their motive for doing it, the fact remains that the good news about Christ is being preached. And I'm glad. The people don't know their motive. So, Christ is being preached, and I'm glad. People are getting saved, and I'm glad. What are we talking about tonight? I'm simply saying soul-winning stewardship. And it means we have been engrafted to the tree. Soul-winning stewardship that is done from the heart, that has no motive, is the one that has reward. Whatever we are doing in his house that has no motive is the one that generates reward. Glory to God. We have been engrafted. Remember, we have been engrafted to the tree. So today we are starting with soul winning stewardship. John 15 verses 1 to 3. 1 to 2, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. In other words, when we are a fruit-bearing branch, we have been engrafted to a fruit-bearing tree, and we should bear fruit. We are meant to bear fruit. Have you seen a tree bearing fruit? Trees don't technically bear fruit. Branches bear the fruit. So the tree, like I said on Sunday, receives nutrients from the roots. And they pass those nutrients to the branches. Those branches, so if you are plucking mango, orange from a tree, you pluck it from the branch. Because those are the ones that have received nutrients from the root. You pluck it from a branch. So that means the vine, which is Christ himself, has given us the nutrients to bear the fruits. Christ cannot bear the fruits. He is the vine. He has given us the responsibility to bear the fruits. He has given us the grace to bear the fruits. So the tree is there. We are already entangled and attached to the vine. And then as tree, as branches, we are the ones that will bear the fruits. We bear the fruits. It gives us the grace to do it. It gives us the blessings after we have done it. May the Lord give us understanding. John 15, 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Not Christ. That ye bear. The vine has already died for us to bear the fruit. So he says, and ye bear much fruit, so that ye shall be my disciples. And as a result, he said in verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That ye, what? And ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit as the vine. As the vine. Bring forth much fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father, he will give it to you. We did not ask for it. He chose us for it. Luke 13, 18 to 19. He says, then said he unto what is the kingdom of God like? He says, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and cast into the garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches thereof. We are the branches, and we are supposed to bear the fruit. From today, you will bear fruit. Amen. I said, from today, you will bear fruit. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I will begin to bear fruits. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I will begin to bear fruit. You cannot stop talking about what you have experienced. A man that was born blind received the sight, and they wanted to keep him quiet. What am I talking about? In Luke, in John chapter 4, testimony stirred passion. In other words, how can we bear fruit? What ways, easy ways, can we bear fruit? Share your testimony. Share other people's testimonies. You have a testimony you have been hearing. You have been hiding. Share it. That's the way to bear fruit. That's the way to bear fruit. Testimony shared passion was the reason the woman by the well could not keep quiet. Testimony shared passion. Hey, I have seen some things here. I have heard some things here. I can't keep quiet. I need to share it. Testimonies, shared passion. You know what? There is conversion power in your testimony. You don't need to preach when you share your testimony. Your testimony itself is already converting. Is that correct? Is that correct English? Glory to God. He's already converting power. Is that correct? Glory to God. Whatever it is, just add it. You know what I'm talking about. Your testimony has power to convert. Simple English. Your testimony has power to convert people to the kingdom without preaching. This is what my life was before. This is what it is now. Really? That's what God has done for you? If he has done that for you, he will do it for me. The woman by the well said, look at it. John 4, 29. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? I didn't tell him anything. He was telling me everything. I didn't tell him anything. He was the one telling me everything. Is this not the Christ? And in verse 39, the Bible says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him. For the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. If you take, I shared this at the covenant of prayer. If you take note and go back to the scriptures and check the disciples of Jesus, Jesus will call one of them and then they will go and call their brother. They will say, come. And when they come, they say, we have seen the Messiah. Come, let us go. And the Bible says, as they are coming, he said, I saw you under the tree. Jesus is speaking. He said, I saw you under the tree. You, so person. Yeah. I can't go back again. This man knows all things. He saw another one. He said, Peter, your name is so. I'm going to turn your name to rock. That's why there is nothing you do to Jesus. Peter will defend him. Because he knew. How did you know that? Where did you get that from? May the Lord give you understanding. Your amen is weak.
Amen.
You cannot stop talking about what you have experienced. There was a man born blind. And then he received his sight. And they wanted to keep him quiet. But they were even telling him, this man was born blind. They tell to him, you shouldn't have been healed on a Sabbath day. This is Sunday. Why should you be healed on a Sabbath day? John chapter 9, 25 to 27. He answered and said, they said, the man that healed you must be a sinner. Because you are healed on a Sabbath day, he must be a sinner. He said, and he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I don't know. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I can see. I don't care the circumstances of my healing. I was a blind man. Today, I can see. So what are you talking about? And they said unto him, what did he do? No, go back to verse 26. They said unto him, what did he do? What did he to thee? How did he open your eyes? Verse 27. You understand? I said, I've told you already. I don't care. I don't know. Wherefore, would he hear it again? Do you want me to say it again? I said, I don't care. And I don't know. Will he also be his disciples? You better come and be his disciples because your life is not making any sense. You know, what I'm saying about your life does not make sense. You better come and be his disciple. Oh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. He said, again, they didn't end there. Verse 30. The man answered and said unto them, why hearing is a marvelous thing that ye know not from whence he is? Why is it a problem to you that you don't know where this man came from? And yet, he had opened my eyes. Is it where he came from that is the problem? Or that he has opened my eyes? Now, we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Now, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? Now, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. So, stop, quit associating this man with evil. If he's not of God, he would not have been able to do anything. And it is not in my state to be answering you. If you are not sure, go and look for the man yourself. John 3:16. If you share your testimony, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And he said, he that believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. If you share your testimony, you have no idea how many people will plug into it and their lives will be changed. Your testimony is what you are going through is what somebody is going through. The Lord gave you victory, so that you can share that testimony and so that somebody else can plug into it. And in sharing that testimony, people's lives are changed. Lives are transformed. You don't need to preach. This guy didn't preach. He just told them, you see, I know what your life is right now. I have been here since I was born blind. You didn't do anything. There was nothing you did to make my eye open. Now that I've seen, you are now saying that there is a problem again? You better go and meet that man so that he can change your life. Somebody's life will be changed tonight.
Amen.
I said somebody's life will be changed tonight.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Very quickly as we close, look at the examples of soul-winning stars. Soul-winning mid-stars. Moses was number one. Moses could not stand to see people oppressed. He saw someone being oppressed and threw caution to the wind. In Exodus 2:11-12, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked here and there. And the Bible says, and he spied an Egyptian. Exodus 2:11-12. And he said, and one of his brethren, and he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And as a result of his passion, God stepped in. In Exodus 3:7-10, and God said, I've surely seen the affliction of the people, of my people. And now I'm employing you, Moses, to take it up, to take it up. In Deuteronomy 34:11-12, and there arose not a prophet since Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Number two was Nehemiah. Nehemiah was a lover of the afflicted. Nehemiah, a lover of the afflicted. The Bible says in Nehemiah chapter 1, when they brought news to Nehemiah, the Bible says in Nehemiah 1:1-4, the words of Nehemiah, the son of the Ekaliah, and it came to pass in the month of Chilsu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain of men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, and then they had left, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words, Nehemiah said, I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Now, and then the Bible says, Nehemiah was also in Nehemiah 4:17-21, Nehemiah's level also changed. Now, let me close with this. Loving souls is not only about bringing souls to the kingdom. It is also about keeping souls in the kingdom. The two stories I told you about right now were not people that were brought to the kingdom. They were people of the kingdom. Moses, the Bible says, they were already people of God. But how can we? Moses couldn't stand these people suffering. The people of the church suffering. Nehemiah couldn't stand the people of God suffering.
They are still souls of the kingdom. It is useless to bring souls to the kingdom and then allow them to go back through the back door. You can bring souls to the kingdom, but the most important thing is to keep souls in the kingdom. John 15, 16, it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, but that ye should go forth and bring forth fruits. But I will only pay you when those fruits remain. And then you would say to me, give me a plain check, and I will do whatever you want me to do. Keeping souls in the kingdom. The challenge we have in the church is judging people as they are entering the church, judging them already and sending them out of the kingdom. It is not about just bringing the souls. It's about keeping the souls in the kingdom. How many people have we brought? How many people are retained? Because we have our cliques. Those you don't know, you don't even greet. You don't know them, you don't greet them. And then they are just wondering, oh, it's like nobody cares for me in this place. Let me go and look for a place where they care. You don't know them, you don't greet them. Nobody says, oh, my brother, I'm just seeing you for the first time. How are you doing today? What's your name? But the ones you know, my bro, what did you eat last night? Alpha, can you send some to me? I'm coming to your house. So they are hearing you saying all those things, but you know you don't. They know you don't care truly about them. I mean the others, hearing you speaking to others. It's not about just bringing the souls. It's about keeping the souls. The souls Moses protected from oppression were already God's souls. The souls Nehemiah protected from affliction were God's souls. And remember, God is not looking for who to use. He's looking for who to bless. Our job is to make sure not only to bring the souls, our job is to keep the souls. Our job is to, you know, somebody came to me sometime during the year, I think it's the early days of the year, and said to me, sir, I saw her sitting somewhere there. And it was immediately after the first service, I will never forget. And please, my sister, if you are listening to me right now, have mercy on me and come back to church. She said, can I see you, sir? I said, no, this is after first service. I'm preparing. And something said to me, call her and listen to her. And I said, no, you know what? Come in. She said, I don't know anybody in Canada. I don't have anybody here. My husband is just, I'm still preparing the visa for my husband. But she was pregnant. And she said, I just wanted to talk to, I don't know if I can find help. The mistake I made that day was not to ask for her name, not to ask for her number. It was after she had gone. I was not looking everywhere. What's this sister's name? I'm sure she must have put to bed now, but I'm sure she has not seen anybody from the church. Because there's nobody that knows her. She said, I don't know anybody, nobody knows me, but I just wanted to let you know, sir, that I was soon put to bed. I don't have help. I just need help. That was very sad for me, sir. That was very painful when I remembered it. I didn't even ask for this sister's name. I didn't ask for her number. If that sister tells 10 people what Winners Chapel International Calgary did to her, those 10 people will never step this church. But let her tell one person that Winners Chapel International, this is what they did for me. That one person will tell 20. Our actions to people matters a lot. You do one thing to one person, you don't know how many people it will affect. Rise up on your feet. Let's go home. Glory to God. Everybody's quiet now. Glory to God. Let's give God thanks and praise. Even me, I'm trying to do the one that I've done. Undo the one that I've done. So give God thanks tonight. The one that you have done also, the Lord will put it in your heart and you will know. Glory to God. Just give God all the praise and all the glory. Give him all the honor and give him all the adoration. Father, we thank you. Lord, we exalt you. We give you praise and we give you glory. In Jesus' most marvelous name we have prayed. Somebody is here tonight. You need to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Why not online and on ground? If you are online, if you are on ground, put your right hand on your heart. Let me quickly pray with you and for you. You want to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my Lord and Savior, or I want to rededicate my life to you. Why not tonight? Put your right hand on your heart. Let me pray with you, online and on ground. And if you are doing that, Lord, we lift up these people into your precious hands. Bless them. In the name of Jesus. King of glory, we ask, O Lord, that you will reverse whatsoever it is that is in their heart that is not of you. We ask, O Lord, God of righteousness, that you will tabernacle with them, and every sin and sickness you will take away, and your name only will be glorified. They will confess you as your Lord and Savior, and you will perfect all that concerns them. In Jesus' marvelous name.